Turn our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2. Book of Acts chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 37 down to 47. And the title for tonight's message is Searching for Lost Treasure. And I hope that we can see this in God's Word tonight. And we're going to see what we have as well, our treasure. And we're going to see how God values us. So let's begin reading in verses number 37 through 47 of chapter 2 in the book of Acts. It says, Now when they heard this day, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there added unto them about 3,000 souls. That is awesome when you begin to think about that. Pastor, real quick, can you imagine one day just baptizing 3,000 people? That would be crazy. But this is what took place. 3,000 people were baptized, and 3,000 people were added to the church. It goes on in verse number 42. It says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the good report that was given just a few moments ago from our missionary that was here this morning about the friendliness of this church. God, I pray that that won't stop. We pray, Lord, that that would continue to go. And I believe that we are friendly because we know what we have, and that is you. You live within our hearts. God, I pray tonight, if there's someone here within the sound of my voice who doesn't have you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you would bring deep conviction to the heart. Lord, I don't want anybody to go to hell. So, God, I pray that you would just begin to work. And Lord, that they would come to know his Lord and Savior, and we can rejoice with them. Lord, God, I pray that you'd use me tonight to give your word. Thank you again for the opportunity that I'm able to have. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Searching for lost treasure. You can turn on your television almost any time of the day now, and you can find shows where people are captivated about searching for lost treasure. I have gotten involved with a show in the last couple years. It's called The Curse of Oak Island. And if you guys are familiar with that, they're out there and they're trying to search for a treasure that they believe has been buried by people back in the 17, maybe 1800s. And they're spending millions of dollars to excavate this land to find some treasures. What they don't realize what they're doing is they are losing money. Because they're spending money to find treasure. It doesn't make sense to me. I'd rather keep the money than try to find something that I might not be able to find. But you can turn on those televisions and begin to see those things. Many millions of dollars are spent in trying to retrieve them. And to this day, I have yet to see them retrieve anything. I remember a few years ago, Geraldo Herrera, whatever his last name is, was trying to open up King Tut's tomb. I don't know if you guys remember that. I was a young kid at that time. And was trying to find the treasures that were buried with him. I don't think he found anything. The only thing I think he needs to find is his brain on occasion. But anyway, that's a different message for a different day. But we spend millions of dollars trying to retrieve those things, seeking for things that will only bring a temporary pleasure. See, this is just a temporary pleasure that they are trying to fill in their life. If you ever found the newness wears off, and once the newness wears off, they are off to the next adventure, meaning they're never satisfied and they're going from place to place. So here lies the problem tonight. What is being done by people all over this world is searching for earthly treasures instead of searching for heavenly treasures or spiritual treasures. So here is the danger in that: a missed opportunity on the treasures of God. Or you can say, missing out on delighting yourself in God, having your joy in God. See, we put so much effort and so much energy into the things of this world instead of putting our energy and effort into the things that God wants us to put it into. So here in the book of Acts, we see something, and we just read something, a very beautiful picture, and it transpired right before our very eyes. 3,000 people that were destined for hell. Destined for hell, meaning they were lost as can be. Their sin that they have committed in their life was taking them to an everlasting hell. By the way, let me tell you what hell is. Hell is an eternal flame of torment. Hell is not a place where somebody's going to go in and have a party and begin to talk to your neighbor that is next to you. It is a place of eternal darkness. It's a place of eternal flames. And that's where people go who reject Jesus Christ. I thank God that he changed my destination. I thank God, as is mentioned here in the last chapter here, the last verse says, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm a part of this verse because I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I have been added to the church. And so have you if you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. So 3,000 people destined for hell turned their eyes unto the Lord. That's what took place in their life. They turned their eyes to the Lord. The key thing is they took their eyes off of themselves. Think about that. Our eyes are constantly upon ourselves, constantly thinking about what we can do and what we can accomplish and what we can achieve in this world that's only temporary, instead of putting our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, which is where our eyes need to be. Now, here's the problem in this, as I'm talking right now, I want you to understand this. Even though we get saved, do you know that we take our eyes off of God on occasions? We too, even though we have our new destination is now heaven, we too go throughout life and we lose focus of our heavenly treasures, and we put our focus upon our earthly treasures, and we can get ourselves in a dangerous situation. So as we go on here, this resulted in God doing a marvelous work in all of their lives. I want you to understand something. Even though God did a marvelous work in their life at this point in time, not all of their problems were solved that day. But the biggest and most important problem that they had was solved. Because they realized where they were going, they realized who they needed to turn to, and they realized that they needed to call upon Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so that problem was solved for them that day. And that problem was their destination. I stand before you tonight, and I am so glad that my destination has been changed. I'm so glad that I'm not going to the destination that I deserve. That's right, I deserve hell because I'm a rotten, horrible person. I thank you for not saying amen to that one. I thought I was going to have a lot of amens on that, especially for my brothers and sister. But I thank you for not doing those things. But I thank God that he changed my destination. But I haven't always been seeking the treasures of his kingdom. So as we continue to go on here, this, however, was a work in progress for these people. Salvation didn't happen for them overnight. There was a seed that was planted way before this that took place. And as that seed was planted, people came along and they began to water that seed. And so the problem that we see here, if we were to look deeper, is where was their treasure? Look with me in verse number 45. It says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted to them all men as every man had need. Possessions is another word for treasure. They sold their treasures here. Their possessions, meaning treasure. It is our earthly treasures that keep us from seeing God for who he really is. You'll have to excuse me this evening because I'm having some horrible sinus drainage. And the last thing that I like to hate to do is just have everything just drip all over the place. So as it runs, I want to catch what's coming out. It'd be nice if I had a couple guys up here just caught it for me, but that ain't going to take place tonight. But it is our earthly treasures that keep us from seeing who God really is. In other words, our treasures at times, think about this and understand this, our treasures at times have become our God. And I will explain this as we continue to go on throughout this process. But I want to say this again. Our treasures at times have become our God. Meaning we've taken our eyes off of God himself and the heavenly treasures that, and our spiritual treasures that we're supposed to keep our eyes on. And we've taken our eyes off of God and we focus and sometimes still focus on our earthly treasures. And all that we put all that time and energy into, I must remind you, it's temporary. It's not eternal. And we focus on the temporary. We don't focus on the eternal. And we have it backwards on so many different occasions. Tonight, I want you to understand something as we continue to go through this. I want you to realize this tonight. God considers you, God considers myself to be a treasure. He sure does. He is constantly seeking us. For salvation, he's seeking us for salvation. And once we get our salvation and we take our eyes off of him and we become backslidden, God is still seeking us because he values us. Why does he value us? Because we're his treasure. That's why. And he has a tremendous desire to have a great relationship with you and I. I can't understand and begin to fathom that a holy God, a righteous God, who has no sin, who has never committed a sin, desires to have a relationship with you and I. Folks like you and I who have drug his name through the mud, folks like you and I who have, at times have probably cursed him, folks like you and I who have put our treasures on this earth and not putting our treasures in him. But regardless of those things, he treasures us, he values us, and he desires to have a relationship with you and I. Just like tonight, my wife and I, we've been married for 26 years, we're going on 27 years now, and we desire to this day to have a relationship with one another. And how do we do that? It's through constant communication with one another. Constantly talking to each other, and that takes place in our lives because she values me as a treasure, and I value her as a treasure. We value each other. But his search has come at a substantial cost. And that cost was the very life of his son. His own son, his own personal treasure that was with him in heaven, came at a cost because he values you as a treasure as well. What a great God that we serve, who sees value in us. So often, young people, they get this woe is me attitude, and we adults, we do this as well at times, and we'll say, oh, nobody loves me. Oh, they think I'm worthless. Can I encourage you to do something? Get in Scripture. If you don't feel loved and if you feel useless, get in Scripture because God will tell you otherwise. God will tell you that he loves you. God will tell you that he cherishes you. God will tell you that you're his treasure. God will tell you that he values you and you are something to him. He loves you this evening. I enjoy getting to watch a person who has just gotten saved. I love it. I think it's a thrill that we're able to see. And the reason why I get excited and the reason why I get thrilled about these things because a new life has begun in him. Old things are now old, they're gone, and now we got a new life. And everything that they begin to read and the things that they begin to understand is brand new to them. You know, sometimes we folks that have been saved for many years, sometimes we've lost our joy. Do you realize that we still need to have that same joy that we had when we got saved? I'm serious. We need to have that same joy. April the 25th of 1986, that's the day that I got saved, and that's the day that changed my life, and my destination's changed from hell to heaven, and that is exciting. So everything from there on out is brand new to me, and it should be brand new. But we don't look at things like that. Oh, I got to go to church tonight. I got to go because I don't want pastor to give me a call. I don't want no visitation. I don't want people looking down on me. And we've lost our joy in some things. You know, I enjoy coming to church. I do. You know, I woke up this morning, snot sticking to my nose, clearing out my throat just so I can talk. Snot was probably in my eyes. You know, thank God for sinuses, but sometimes they're inconvenient. And honestly, I was like, you know, even though it's my birthday, I don't want to go to church just because, you know, I'm dealing with this. But you know what? I did some farmer blows here and there, and I came to church. The reason why I came to church is because I enjoy being around God's people. It is a joy. It's new every single time. It truly is. And so a believer, they have this joy about them. They have begun to enjoy the joy of their treasure that they just realized that they have. And that treasure is Jesus Christ. That is a new life in Him. Honestly, when we witness a baptism in our church, or hear of somebody getting saved, we should rejoice and shout to the Lord. You know, I was thrilled this morning when Brother Lehman was here, and he began to talk about his grueling process of being in Thailand for 5 years and not seeing a result for the first year, the second year, the third year. The third year, he's questioning God, whether or not, God, why do you have me here? And then the fourth year, things begin to turn around. And then we saw on the video that he's got 40 people in his church, 40 people who are lost and going to hell. And now they're going to heaven. And that ought to excite us. We all ought to say, woo! That is awesome. That is thrilling. That is great. But you know what we do? Good for you. Good for you. Do you realize a treasure that God was seeking, that God was pursuing, was just found? And there's joy in that. When somebody steps out of the water of baptism, we ought to be, that's exciting. It's thrilling to see those things. That is God's treasure that He invested time in. And now we're able to invest time in ourselves. Treasures. We should rejoice and shout to the Lord. Why? Because the doors of hell were slammed shut on them. The doors of hell were slammed shut on me and are never going to open for me ever, ever again. Why? Because I'm God's treasure. I said yes to His salvation. And He values me. So let me ask you a question. What did they do with their possessions? What did they do with their treasures? Let's read again in let's start in verse number 44. It says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." So we see here in verse 45, they did what? They sold. They had come to realize what was keeping them from seeing the Lord was their earthly treasures, their earthly possessions. It kept them from seeing who God really was. And so once they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, things began to change in their lives. Do you remember the changes what God was doing in your life after salvation? By the way, God does not stop making changes. Unfortunately, we stop Him from making changes. We tell Him no. But we see that they sold all that they had. They saw that it was keeping them from serving the Lord, and they wanted to get rid of it. Not only did they sell it, they gave what they had to others. They distributed to them. They joyed in being a blessing because that was no longer their treasure. God was their treasure. That was their joy. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some things that I have noticed with believers today. And if this is you, I really want you to pay attention to this. And that is where their treasure is at. So let me be a little bit more specific here. They received Christ, but it now seems the important thing here is giving up their earthly treasures. Our treasures that we lay up here on earth are self-induced. They're self-induced. We have created it. What is taking place should scare every single one of us. And that is because we're so involved in our earthly treasures, we miss the opportunity of winning souls to Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer this out loud because some of us might be embarrassed. When was the last time that you won a soul to Jesus Christ? Seriously. Do you see all these empty chairs around here? What are you doing on your part? What are you doing in your spare time? Are you more focused on your earthly treasures instead of the treasures that God has called us to, and that is to be a witness to these souls that are around us? When was the last time you invested some good time into an unsaved person? And that answer is, if we were to say it out loud, a lot of us would probably be embarrassed. Because your earthly treasures have taken up your time and have taken up your effort. God did not call us to fulfill our own commission here on earth. You heard the missionary this morning. We are here to help him fulfill the Great Commission. Does he need our help? No, he doesn't need our help, but he desires our help. He wants our help. How do we invest in our earthly treasures? Here are some few. Some might be more concerned about the size of their home, or maybe the fleet of cars that you might have. And I'm not trying to be insensitive here, folks. I'm really not. I'm trying to get you to see, where have you put your treasures? Where have you invested your time? Meaning heavenly treasures, the ones that truly matter in life. God's people have put worship on the back burner to work on their earthly treasures. It's not just happening at Open Door Baptist Church, it's happening in churches all across this country of ours. The lack of importance of God in people's lives is very high. And that's sad. Worship should not be on the back burner. So here's some things that we invest in, not just in the size of our home or the fleet of our cars. Sports and entertainment have become the treasures that we seek. Sons and our daughters are being pulled from church for the events that I just described. Moms and dads are teaching their kids that earthly treasures are more important than the treasures of God. It's okay today for kids to miss church, but parents will throw a fit if they miss a practice or a game. That shows us, where's our earthly treasures at? We're investing time here. The other thing that I've noticed is the selfishness of some believers. This new group of God's people, what did it say here? It says they sold all their possessions and then they gave. They gave. They had joy in giving to others. Their delight was being giving to others, seeing the joy on their faces. Isn't it great to give somebody a gift? You know, obviously you guys know I made a big deal out of it. Today's my birthday. Some people are like, it's just your birthday. It's no big deal. But you know what? There are some things that was left on my seat this morning that you guys didn't get to see my reaction. And I had great delight in those things, especially coming down with chocolate. I mean, I got a big Kit Kat bar. I got two things of Twix. I'm a little concerned because both of them said the right Twix. I don't have the left Twix, so I can't eat the right ones until I get the left ones. So I'm waiting for those. And I got another Kit Kat bar that was in a wrapper, and I unwrapped it at home, and a gift fell out. And the joy that came on my face. It's a joy given to others. It's a blessing to be able to do those things. They delighted in that. And they didn't seek to gain profit from it. They were happy to do so. I know this. If I can be a help to somebody, and you guys who know me, I'm not out for profit. I just want to be a help. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a blessing. It's a great enjoyment. So here is what their new treasure gave them. One, write this down. It gave them a joy to give. Two, a joy to finally to have all things common, being of the same mindset. Three, a joy of having daily fellowship with each other. You mean daily fellowship? You know what they did when the church began back then? They met daily. You know, we get irritated when we have three sermons throughout the week. We got our missions conference coming up, and I, without a doubt, there's probably someone here tonight, man, we're going to have missions conference, so I got to be at church Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Man, what am I going to do? This is going to interfere with some things in my life. Can I give you a few words to help you out? This, I really thought about this, and I gave it a lot of deep thought. I think it'll really help you. If that's you, listen to these words. Write it down. Get over it. Get over it. So they had joy in these things, desiring to be around God's people. I'm going to say one thing that I haven't said in a long time because I've steered away from the COVID. I've steered away from making comments about this. Well, I'm going to say this because we're talking about fellowship here. We're talking about meeting with folks. I am scared that some have lost the joy of being together with being gone so long. That really bothers me. We're now upon a year, and I don't call it an anniversary. It's not an anniversary. An anniversary is something you celebrate. We're upon a year of this stuff that's going on. Jeff and I, we stepped away last year at this time. We celebrated our birthdays in Branson, not knowing that that would be the last time that we would see some folks in this church. Not knowing that we would miss out on seeing their faces, and I miss those faces. I truly do. I got to thinking this week because today is a day that Jeff and Doc, they celebrate the same birthdays. Doc would be 100 years old tomorrow, and he made it to 99. I remember that day a year ago, hearing his voice on the phone, wishing him a happy birthday. 3 or 4 days later, he steps out into eternity. I miss seeing his face. I miss hearing his voice. I miss getting those hugs. Why? Because I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy those things. But I'm scared some have lost that joy. The fourth is a joy of praising God. It would be really nice if someday we can leave all our problems at home. Every single problem that we face throughout the week, let's leave it at home. And when we come to church, we can just praise God. Wouldn't it be nice if we can just come in and we learn how to fellowship and we don't talk about anything that happened that week at work? We don't talk about what might have happened in the sports world. We don't talk about what great thing our kids did that week. But we come in and we begin to praise God. Praising God. It would be nice to do those things. I'm going to say it like this. I'd rather learn here on earth how to praise God than when we get to heaven, I got to go through a beginner's course learning how to praise Him. We can begin to do that while we're here. Why don't you have you turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and I'll close here. Here is a problem that we face. Matthew chapter 6. This is really the heart of the message, and I won't spend much time on it. Verse number 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." See those things that I mentioned earlier about our earthly treasures? What does God say about that? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. As I begin to close out this message tonight, can I ask you a question? Where's your heart at tonight? Where have you laid up your treasure? I believe today God's children really need to reevaluate their lives. The biggest treasure that should ever matter is a soul that God brought in your life to witness to. That is an awesome treasure to be a part of. But here's what happens, and this is sad, and I'm guilty of this. I'm not standing here tonight saying, yeah, I've overcome this, and I'm on my way, and I perfected this. No, I have not perfected this. I am still guilty of these very things. I still put focus on earthly treasures here. I take my eyes off of God and the treasures that He wants me to seek for the eternal, and I put them on the temporary. But here's what happens. We become foolish, and we waste our time laying up foolish treasures upon this earth. What I am trying to say and get at tonight, put God first in your life. Put God first in your life. Searching for lost treasure. That's what we're doing. We're searching for treasures on this earth, material things, financial things. Those things are going to be lost for eternity. And you know what else is going to be lost for eternity on your account? Is the very soul that God gave and put in your life to be a witness to. That's eternal too. What has more value? Well, you might say, well, my house is worth this much and my car is worth this much. No, a house and a car is only worth what some moron is willing to give you. That's just the heart of the matter. But a soul is priceless. A soul is a treasure that God values. He values you tonight. Why? Because He loves you. And that is exactly what you and I need to do in our lives, is to have the same love that God has for others, have the same desire and have the same compassion. Look at them and begin to weep for their very life. God was so concerned about it that He gave us His Son. That's how concerned He was about it. Let me ask you a question tonight. What are you willing to give up for a treasure that you can take to heaven? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'm going to have a verse of invitation or two. If God has spoken your heart tonight, I'm not going to tarry, but if God has spoken your heart tonight, I'm going to challenge you to come forward and take care of business. If you're not saved tonight, I don't know your spiritual place in life. I don't know those things. But if you don't know if you were to die tomorrow and you don't know if you would to go to hell or heaven, man, I encourage you to come up here tonight, because I will definitely show you how you can be saved. Let's have a word of prayer. And God has spoken your heart. Don't wait. Just come forward. Heavenly Father, your word has been preached. Your word has been taught. God, I pray tonight that if there's someone here that is yet to accept you, God, I pray that they come forward and they can see the value of their life. God, if we're not doing our part, God, I pray that we would come forward and begin to take care of business. I ask you these things, Lord. Work in the next few moments. In your name, amen.